Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night, I'm going nowhere. All the lights are changing, green to red. Turning off the TV station, situations running through my head. Looking back through time, you know it's clear that I've been blind, I've been a fool. To open up my heart to all that jealousy, that bitterness, that ridicule.
Scott Enstra Network.
Massive schedule change, and I'm running behind as I posted on the website. 5 o'clock Pacific time is normally when I'm going to do this, but I'm just trying to catch up on everything, and so here we are. Now, last night's show, Julie and I did on tinfoilhatclub.com, and again, let me explain what that's all about. You know, most people that are considered conspiracy nuts, people that are different, people that do not fit in, people that are, let's say, out of the norm, are basically put in that classification. There was a time that if someone thought that you were mentally ill or crazy or something else, the finger would be pointed. Potentially, you'd be taken into an asylum. And or just, you know, thrown out of the community. But today we have such a hodgepodge of insanity that the normal people are the ones being thrown out. The normal people are having the fingers pointed at them. And I guess we're kind of going to go over what we think is normal. I'm just going to, you know, over a cup of coffee tonight, what I mean is just, you know, we're just going to sit and talk. I've opened the chat if you've got any questions. But let me finish my point, and that is that there's a stigma. There is a mindset. There is a programming. There is brainwashing that has put us in this world, in the United States, into a philosophy or the inability to reason logic. Now, what does that mean? Well, I was reminded again recently that the mainstream church and what they've been teaching has basically been equal to Common Core. And what they have done is they have dumbed down God's people. They don't know who they are. They may think they know who they are, and we're going to talk about deception and delusion. And so they think they've got it. They may have head knowledge of the, quote, the word, but, you know, a form of godliness is not going to cut it, a form. Now, we are either in or we're out. Now, I don't know why, but I really hate cold water. And I'm sure a lot of you just don't care for it either, but some of you can take cold showers, or some of you can jump in a river or a lake that's cold and not think twice about it. I can't stand it. Once I, you know, get used to the initial shock. But the point is that whenever there's a change, whenever there's a counter, whenever there's something that opposes your comfort zone, you shut down. You turn off. You won't accept it. And so what the church has done has put everyone in a comfort zone. And let me give a comparison here. When I joined Motorola Corporation, I joined them in 1983. And I really didn't want to work for them, but I doubled my salary. and I had a young family, and I wasn't making that much money and so forth, and I just didn't want to go into the semiconductor. I working for Motorola and some of the other departments would have been good, like the government department, military, but this was the typical semiconductor manufacturing. Now, a lot of you really don't know what that's all about, but it basically means you wear what's called a bunny suit. So for 20 years, I wore this suit that covered all parts of my body, and then we wore masks over the face, and then goggles, glasses. You get used to it, and in fact, at first, you look around and you think that you don't know anybody. But then you start to learn how people walk and how they stand and just their gestures, and you can look at a group of people wearing bunny suits and immediately know who's who. It takes a little time to do that, but after a time, you know. So when I went to work for Motorola, I went into a field or an environment that was very hazardous, very toxic, with chemicals and heavy metals, gases, things that basically, some of the gases we referred to as two-step. You take one sniff, you turn and run, you on your second step, you go down and that's it, you're done. Some actually explode when exposed to atmosphere, silane, and along with acids and solvents and again the heavy metals and all the stuff that basically are polluting this environment was the environment that I went into. Now, I made a choice to go in. I could have said no, but again, money was a big issue. And what I didn't know is that I myself was not going to be able to tolerate the chemicals, that hereditarily my glutathione level is low. Of course, I had no idea what that was, and some of you don't know what that is. Unless you've dealt with this situation, most of you would not know what it is. Well, it's an enzyme or a substance that the liver produces in your body, that when there's a free radical, a toxin, a poison, something that shouldn't be there, your body attaches to it with this glutathione and then helps bring it to your kidneys so you can get rid of it. Well, without it, then the stuff is completely free-floating and moving around and then eventually seeps in and attaches. So what I didn't know is I was immediately poisoning myself, and that any fat that I had on my body, the fat cells, like fish will obtain toxins and poisons in the water and bring it into the fat cells. And so I was constantly polluting myself with these chemicals, and I was getting sicker and sicker very slowly. And not understanding, because this was back in 83, and without the comprehension of the knowledge of the truth of what was really going on, within a few years, I was in very, very, very bad shape. And in fact, my liver today is probably compared to an alcoholic's liver. My kidneys, though everything is functioning, if there's anything that's out of balance for me, then I get ill. My immune system is shot. And so would I have made that choice of going into Motorola if I had known that this was going to happen? And by the way, the other employees, many of them that were in that environment who had normal glutathione, didn't notice anything at all. But that was in 83. Now we're in 2016, and there are many people that I worked with that are already dead and gone. Now, yes, it was quite a few years ago, but many of them have died of cancer 10 and 20 years ago. Many of them are having issues, depression, anxieties, all kinds of other issues. Now, is there a demonic behind that? Of course there is. Anytime the devil can see an opportunity, he'll jump right in there. Because most people have an open door anyways. And so it's just one more, hey guys, come on in. And then when you have somebody that's being stimulated by chemicals, otherwise, if you've been around paint, you know how you can get lightheaded and everything else. Well, it basically does the same thing, But again, it comes on you slow, and then over time, you don't realize that, you know, basically you're not thinking right, you're not sleeping, you're not functioning. Your body isn't functioning. There's all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems that are now being compounded and escalating from this issue. And again, when I have taken the job knowing what I know now of going into the environment, no, I wouldn't have. If I could have sat down and weighed it all out, I would have not have done that. Because it has been a very, very long road. And there has been great improvement because of deliverance, because of God's grace. In fact, the doctors see me as a walking miracle. I've had specialists in toxicity that know, you know, those things, absolutely can't believe that I haven't folded in my tent years and years and years ago. I shouldn't even be functioning by some counts of some specialist. And so we know God has his hand in that. And just like Paul had a thorn in his side, I guess this is mine. I don't know. But either way, the point of it is that there's no going back. There's only eating and drinking correctly, making sure that I'm taking in the right things and not anything that is, food additives. And by the way, food additives like BHT you'll find in cereals. If you have young children and you're having behavior issues with them, then you may look at the cereal that you're feeding them and you'll see BHT. BHT puts me down like I have the flu, but it also can cause people to become erratic. Now, even with me, because of that, then I become irritable. Now, sodium benzoate is another additive you'll find in Pepsis and soft drinks. It's a liquid. It's part of the benzene ring coming from crude oil, and that's what we're consuming. So all these things that we're taking in time, take their toll, because free radicals are exactly the opposite of what we want in our body. Now, my point in all this is that the church and what they had done, if I had known the day that I walked into a church after receiving Jesus Christ, the church didn't bring me to Christ. I came because of an incident that happened within my apartment back in 93. And yes, I was sick then too. I was very sick. And I was going through detoxing. It was funny because back then when I told people I was detoxing, they thought that I was a drug addict. But what I was doing was getting the free radicals out of my body. It was cleansing my kidneys and my liver and getting my fat that I had in my body, you know, get the toxins out of there. And in fact, by the way, I was very athletic. I loved long-distance running. And when I would go jogging, I would get sick when I would go jogging. Well, why? Because I was burning up my fat. And the fat was holding all the toxicity, and then I was letting it just run rampant through my body. And by the time I did a 2-3-4 mile run, I mean, I was dragging back, and I'd have to lay down and nap for 2 hours. So again, the church, with what they're doing to us, if I had known then what I know now, I would have never have walked into a church. Now, let me define church. I am not talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about Latter-day Saints. I'm talking about when Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. I'm not talking about that church. I'm talking about those things of psyops and programming and those things of the Masonic Lodge and those things of Zionism, those things that infiltrate, that pollute, that brainwash, that also release spirits onto us. Now, have you ever noticed that, you know, like me, I was becoming lethargic and I couldn't think and my mind was foggy all the time because of these chemicals? And what I found over time when I was going to the church, that there was a similar instance that was taking place. Any time that I tried to bring or introduce into those people that I knew within the church, within, you know, Bible studies and everything else, that they would reject what I was trying to bring in. And what I was bringing in was deliverance, was the Great Commission of Jesus Christ, Matthew 28. And And I didn't understand that. It was like when I was going to the doctors originally in 80, you know, probably about 84, 85 is when I started going to the doctors. I probably became six months into it, but really didn't seek anything because I didn't know what was wrong, you know. And I would go to a doctor and I would explain to him that I had these weird feelings, that my mind was expanding because I was high on these, on the chemicals. And I would explain these things to the doctor, and then he would bring the nurse over and he'd whisper in her ear, and then she'd go off and come back with something, and they'd take a blood sample. And I know what they were, eventually figuring out what they were doing. They were trying to figure out if I was on drugs. Because the symptoms and the things that I were telling them, that if you were to listen to, you say, man, that guy's on some pretty heavy psychotropic drugs or some, you know, psychedelic or something, you know. His behavior is displaying maybe someone who's on cocaine or something like that. And, you know, there was a time that I did drugs. There was a time that I smoked pot. But I can tell you that I am so glad that 35, 40 years have passed that I haven't had anything to do with any of that stuff. Boy, I tell you, you know, to have thought that I would have stayed on those things over, you know, over these years, just terrible. And I feel bad for anybody who's in bondage in that, especially with prescription drugs. But the point of it is the doctors saw me as crazy. The doctors had no idea, because this was still kind of new science or new symptoms. I think there were a lot of people out there like that, but no one knew what was going on. And it finally took a psychologist that I had gone to, because I figured I was nuts. So I went to a couple of counselors until I finally found one that said, hey, you know what, Scott? I have a client, a woman, who we found out that actually was chemically sensitive. And when she would get around perfumes and around cleaners, house cleaners, and even, you know, food additives and food, we finally got it narrowed down that she would have these psychotic episodes. And it didn't mean that she went nuts. She would just would not be the normal person. And so she sent me to a specialist that turned out to be somebody that I knew as a kid. And it turned out that he, too, had become sick. He grew up on a farm that used DDT on an apple farm. And when he was in college, he had gained a lot of weight. And he'd realized that he had, you know, gotten out of control. And he started working out. And he, too, when he burned his body fat, that when the fat was, you know, burning off, the chemicals were being released, and his kidneys and his liver shut down, and he almost died. Well, then he took his college education, and then, because he was going into medicine, but then he went towards that field of toxicity. And so now he was one of the specialists in Phoenix, Arizona, and he had an associate that he knew in Colorado, and I went to him. And they ran, I was there a week. They took hair samples, they took skin, they took blood, they took saliva, they took, you know, everything else. And they ran all these tests. And I remember the doctor sitting there at the table, and he was just looking at it. And he looked up at me and he basically said, man, I don't get it. He said, I've never seen anything like this before, that everything that should be, you know, in a scale in the middle, you're completely slammed over to one side. I don't know how you're doing it. And he put me on this regimen of natural detoxification along with very deep long-term saunas. And I've told the story before. And so when I started doing that, and I was in the sauna and I would lean against the wall, the toxins coming out of me stained the wall, and all my clothes smelled like turpentine. And but you know what, that instance of, or the time that I did that, I became even more ill. I was so sick, it was unbelievable, because all the stuff was flying out of me. And in fact, that rapid detox can be very dangerous. People do die from it, and chelation is another term for that. And so about 30 days went by, and all of a sudden I started getting better. I started being able to think. I wouldn't react to anything. My sleep habit started. I would, you know, fall asleep and sleep through the night finally because I had insomnia for 10 years. And the whole world started changing for me. Well, let's again equate this to the church. You go into a church and you get doctrine. You go into a church and you get man's theology. You go into a church that doesn't do deliverance and you get demons. Because there are more demons in a church than you can shake a stick at. And let me tell you why. Because for one, the church is disobedient. The church is rebellious. The church does not believe in the Great Commission. The church teaches doctrine of demons. And because of that, by participating in such events and or actions, that you then become in agreement with it. And when you become in agreement with doctrine that is incorrect, and the term doctrine by itself should just mean that it's incorrect because it's Jesus plus nothing, and so what you have is that you have transfers. Because you have somebody who's standing in front of the pulpit, and they're spewing onto you their perception of the word through man's eyes. Psychology is the same way. Now, we are creatures of habit. The DSM-4, the DSM-5, this is the manual that's basically used by those in the psych world to diagnose mental disorders. And so what we have is we have, again, a man's view of why somebody's behaving the way they do. And only recently, really, have they included environmental impact on individuals, such as, you know, lead paint, you know, that they know can lower IQs, and then all the other things that, like formaldehydes in carpet, man, that's bad stuff. You get some of these Chinese products, like chairs and sofas and things like that, and they've got outgas. There's so much formaldehyde and other things in those materials, the fake leather, the cushions, the foam rubbers, these things. The chair that I have here now in my studio, when I bought it, I had to set it in the other room for 6 months. I couldn't sit in it, but I couldn't find any other chairs that weren't from China. And so this chair had to detox. It had to get all the toxicity out of it before I could tolerate it. Because the fact that the impact of what I went through with the chemicals, I have traumatized my body. So just like someone who's post-traumatic stress, if they run into a situation that is stressful for them, they can be triggered. And so if you're familiar with anaphylactic shock, many people that were bitten by bees and ants as children may go through the years without any more incidences. And then when they're 30, 40 years old, they get bit by a bee, where before it wasn't a problem other than the pain, but now their body's going into shock. Well, that's what's with me now. If I get around things or take in food, my body overreacts. And basically that's what anaphylactic shock is anyways. And so whenever I deal with people with doctrines, because I've been beat over the head, I've been lied to, stabbed, you know, left for dead, from churches, and recently again that has happened, and it's such a shock to me now. And as I told the individual that I was talking to, who we were in two complete different camps, and I was being rebuked for my ministry, and I got a little irritated, but I kept my cool, and I said, you know, it's not you that I'm upset with. It's the church that I'm upset with, because they have basically put you in a mindset, into a brainwashing, into a paradox, into a state that very easily, that when this all comes down, and it already is, we know the house of cards is falling now, that potentially you're going to be somebody who will take the mark, and you will lose. Your name will be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And so I have great, great concerns for those people who are still bound in the church, who still have their demons, who still have their hurts and wounds, who still have multiple personalities, that have not been delivered, that have their generational curses. Because the bondage that they're in, that when the trauma of these things that are coming upon us because of Obama and his cronies and the Illuminati, the New World Order, the Council on Foreign Relations, these reptilians, the seed of Satan, the serpents that are running the world, when they unleash their hell, it's only really those who are in Christ. Now, again, we have to remember that the apostles themselves, they were stoned, they were hanged, they were disemboweled, they were nailed to the cross too, they were set on fire, they were boiled in oil, you know, and these were not only servants of God, but they were friends of Jesus, just like we're friends of Jesus, right? I had somebody who was concerned that I was referring to us as bondservants. Well, we see that the apostles themselves said, I, you know, am a bondservant of Jesus Christ, but we are also a friend of Jesus. I mean, think about that. You got your arm around God, huh? You know, you got the Holy Spirit, you're at the Grand Canyon, and the Holy Spirit's with a camera taking a picture of you two. Pretty cool. So why not we start acting like it? Who are we? Who are you? Who am I? So obviously the individual that I was talking to has no idea who I really am, and I tried to explain myself, but that didn't work, as usual. And it doesn't, you know, it didn't surprise me, but it's always such a shock to realize the bondage that God's people are in. The lies and the cesspool that they're in. The day that I left Motorola was the day that my life started over again. Because that was the day that I was no longer exposed to the poison. That was the day that I no longer was going to receive more toxins that were possibly... Because here's an incident that happened. I even worked for Piper Aircraft a long time ago in Pennsylvania. Some of you listening are from Pennsylvania. And the old Piper Cub was actually from there, okay? Now, in fact, the town was Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. And the week that I started there, I was just what was called a riveter. You know, we did the right wing on the Tomahawk. I don't know if any of you are pilots and you took training, you know, it was a training plane. And I did the right wing on the Piper Tomahawk. I was riveter. And that's a tough job. And God bless anyone that works hard like that. That's a lot of work. But the company, since they were so large, by state standards, OSHA, they had to have a nurse on call. So they actually had a department where they had a nurse in case somebody was injured, and even an EMT response team. And her office, because this is a matter of record, so I can say this, that her office was actually next to the galvanization department, otherwise to galvanize, to chrome, to cover, to take metals and put a coating on them that keeps them from rusting. Now, planes are normally of aluminum, so I don't know what they did in there, but there was a ventilation system that apparently through, you know, air was still connected to the nurse's station. And most of the time the nurse was at her station. And so I don't know how long she had worked there, but she was exposed to the fumes from the galvanizing. And though it was low level, it was over a long period of time, and she started to become ill, and she was complaining, but nobody could understand what was going wrong. Well, she came in one morning, and I guess somebody needed something, and they went in, and they found her dead at her desk in her office in this facility. And when they did the autopsy, and they did a toxicity report on her, they found the same components that were in the galvanizing process. So here's this poor woman having no idea that her environment was killing her. Even herself as a nurse, because that was even in the 70s. That was in the 70s. And so is the church killing you? Is these doctrines killing you? Is the accusations coming from your so-called brother in Christ that's still in the church that tells you you can't have demons, that tells you there's no such things as curses, that basically beats you over the head to basically say you're an nincompoop because you believe in such things? When in reality, what we're dealing with is those individuals that they themselves are dying. Because in your disobedience, in your willful rebellion, that in your ignorance, God says that his people will perish from lack of knowledge. So the question is, are you dying? And so many of you that listen to this show, and you've probably been listening to the new one, you're not in that situation, but you are dealing with people who cannot comprehend the severity of the hour. Okay? And they're so good at it that when they throw it back at you, it's a boomerang, and it actually takes you your breath away and actually dumbfounds you. You actually get you lock up because you just can't believe that all this wonderful information that will set you free is being rejected. So take a moment and think about Jesus. Take a moment how he said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've so long wanted to take you under my wing like chicks." Just think of the anxiety, knowing that the people who were going to experience the lake of fire. And to think of all the people that are within this country right now and what's already taking place in other countries. The devastation that people are losing their lives before coming to Christ. That there are literally millions of people going to the lake of fire because Satan has successfully brought his cronies, his demons, his fallen angels, his curses onto God's people. Now, when I say God's people, I'd like to include those people who, because if we're made in the image of God, if we're a creation that has been put here by God, and that though we are fallen man, the intent was that none of us should perish. That was God's desire. He doesn't want any of us to perish. And so we see in the Great Commission of Jesus Christ that we're to make disciples of all men. We're to go preach the gospel. We're to set the captives free. And so by not doing that, by not even setting those who are professing Christians free, because if you were to statistically look at how many Christians kill themselves each day, I think you'd be flabbergasted. We see that somewhere between 20 and 25 veterans a day kill themselves. And why is this? Well, they're broken. Their hearts are broken. Their minds are broken. They're being demonized. Some of them are even demon-possessed. And the demons, just like ravening wolves, are taking them right to the ground. And we know by, you know, watching documentaries on when prey takes on, you know, their kill, you know, like a lion, lioness, any other, they'll come in, they'll grab them by the neck. You know, the mountain lion that was raving havoc there in California for hikers and bikers, and some people died. Southern California, that's what the lion was doing. It would pounce and take them off their bikes and bite them by the back of the neck. And they could drag them off because they were so strong, but that pain can cause them also with the pressure, the pounds of pressure, to stop the flow of oxygen to the brain and eventually die. So is that what's happening to us, is that we're being bit in the back of the neck, that we're knocked off the bike and taken to the ground? We can't even see our assailant, the spirit realm. Now, what makes it worse? Let's say that you're being assaulted. You're being, taken down by, let's say, a puma, by a panther, by a mountain lion, okay? Depending on what part of the country you live in, that's the different things that they call it. And you look up at somebody who, by the way, has a firearm that could very easily shoot the darn thing, and instead says, this isn't really happening. You're just imagining this. That lion doesn't exist, because they came through years ago and they got rid of all the mountain lions. Okay, that same logic is the same thing you hear from the church that says this can't happen. That what Christ did on the cross, there's no more demons. But nowhere in Scripture will you find that. This is a man's doctrine brought in by a doctrine of demons. And so when you talk about demons, when you talk about curses, they look at you like you're nuts, saying to you, this isn't happening. This can happen. And so there you are. You're bewildered. You're locked up. Your brain just can't comprehend this logic that is not logic of any sense. And so you kind of go off into this drift, and you kind of pull yourself back. And you know, that's a time that when God speaks to you, that's a time when God has your attention, because that's a time when you realize how far down the rabbit hole we have gone. That's a time when we realize that we're at a point of no return. And at that point of no return, then you have no other choice than to move forward. Regardless of what was said, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances, you have to move forward. Now, in our obedience, in our willful actions, and being servants of the Most High God, through the blood of the Lamb, that God's hand is upon us. And so, as gray and as dim as this may all seem, we have to remember that we are friends of Jesus. We have to remember that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have to remember that the seal of God is on our foreheads. And so, again, as I've mentioned before, that life is just a flash in the pan compared to eternity, and so we must persevere. Paul tells us to run the good race. Regardless of what we're dealing with, we do not lose faith. We continue forth. By losing faith, you allow fear in. In 2 Timothy 1:7, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And that is one of the most wonderful verses. I love that verse. And I want you to remember it, because the adversity, the trials, those things that are coming, that is one of the things that gets me through. And I know that when I recite that, there's going to be a time they're going to kick this door down. There's a time they're going to shut the internet off. There's going to be a time that we're just not going to be able to communicate to each other. You know, one of the things that an enemy does that is militarily astute, they know to isolate. They know to segregate. They know to divide. They know to bring confusion in, to cause people to scramble and skedaddle, so to speak, in different directions that they can't unite. If you take a fuselage, if you take a centrifuge and you spin it, let's say you work in a lab and you're doing a blood sample or something else, and you know you put it in there and it spins it around so it mixes up the fluids or everything, or separates, by the way. And in that separation, that until it stops, it can't come back together again. You know, I was looking at some of the fail videos on YouTube, and some of them are hard to watch because people get hurt. But there was this thing where they would go to a playground, and there would be a merry-go-round, and they would take a motorcycle, and they would back the back wheel up to it, and then a couple of yahoos would get in there, because anybody who's dumb enough to get in there is a yahoo, and they would fire up the motorcycle and make that wheel spin that merry-go-round. And these people would go beyond the physical capabilities of staying, you know, in that thing, and they would fly out. Well, you've got no way of controlling how you're going to land in or what you're going to hit. I mean, you could hit the motorcycle, you could hit another pole, you could hit a person, and you're spinning, you know, who knows what RPM, you know, how many miles an hour you are. But, you know, that's crazy. Well, That goes to show that when things are spinning out of control, just like any plane, you know, by the way, airlines, you know, any commercial airliner is meant to take off from point A to point B. Any time that airline or that plane does any tactical moves, it's working outside of the science that it was engineered into that plane. And so if those planes go into a nosedive or even go into too steep of a climb and or turns too quickly. That's why the 9/11 issue needs to be brought up again, because those planes, in order to steer it in the way that they did, is not an easy task. And so here we are designed to go from point A to point B in the way that God has designed us, and man is bringing in turbulence. Demons are bringing in lightning storms. Fallen angels are bringing in hail. Satan is bringing in wind shear. And so we're not meant for it unless we have Jesus, unless we have the power of God. Because in order to get through that storm, us as a vessel, we're not made to deal with it, to take with it. And so it's only Christ that's going to get us from point A to point B. So don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Remember who you are in Christ. And remember that God loves you no matter what. But you know, his laws were written from day one. And obedience is exactly what we've been called to do. And anything other than that is rebellion. And when you're rebellious, then anytime that you place yourself under the law, okay, since Jesus fulfilled the law, that the law is no longer necessary for us, then what we've done is we've rejected Christ and say that what he did wasn't good enough for us. And so that we go back to those things. Those things that in reality no longer can protect us, because that's what the law was about. We've talked about that. The law of Moses, the law of prophets, the Ten Commandments. By being obedient and following those laws meant that we stayed out of sin. And sin is the legal right for demons to have us. And so in this legal right for demons to have us, then we become infected with demons. We have curses that land on us. We have things that take place. So there you are. I mean, it's that simple. But, you know, with the veil, with the brainwashing, with the matrix, with these things that have been in place so long. See, this has been going on for so long that we really don't even know what the real church is. What we see is these four walls with a man who stands in the front who shouldn't be there in the first place. You know, unless you know, he's a one of the many, and it just happens to be his turn. Okay, that's different. But to have everything fall on the shoulders of one man is the same thing that the Catholic Church tried to make out of Peter. Okay? And so we look up at man, just like Pope is supposedly like God on earth. I mean, I was there when the Pope came to Phoenix. I was on the security detail for the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. I stood in uniform in front of that church. I don't remember the name of it. It was an old Catholic church, and it had the Spanish style, and they redid it. And on the balcony where he came out, they spent like $500,000 putting bulletproof glass up there. And my point is that when the Pope Mobile, that was when back in 87? You could Google it and find it. It's been so long, I forget. But there I was with the Pope. I could have reached down and touched him. But the spirit that came with him, I now know, was a counterfeit Holy Spirit. The hair in my arm stood up. The people in the crowd just were overtaken. It was the most bizarre thing I could ever experience. And it wasn't until I came across false Holy Spirits with those things of Kundalini and supposedly these charismatic churches where anything goes. It's unbelievable. And I remember looking around at the other officers. I had a Phoenix officer to my left, and I don't remember what zone, because they literally took officers. Listen to this. They took National Guard. They took every officer from every agency within the state of Arizona, every town, every county, everything that had to do with law enforcement. And from Sky Harbor Airport, listen to this, from Sky Harbor Airport, the Phoenix Airport, to downtown Phoenix, where that was at, every manhole cover was welded shut. And we stood side by side with our hands out, and we touched fingers to separate ourselves from each other, and we lined the road to Sky Harbor Airport with that many officers, National Guard, and the manhole covers were welded shut. And when the motorcade came, the first car was SWAT team. It was some kind of Lexus or something along that. That had all these doors where they could come flying out with their Uzis and their AR-15s. And then the second car was the top surgeon in the state of Arizona in case the Pope got hurt, okay? And then there was another car that again was that, and then it was the Pope Mobile. And then basically behind it was a repeat. I could not believe, and then there were helicopters that escorted that motorcade. And when he came and got out of the Pope Mobile, and the Pope Mobile, I don't know if you know what it is. Remember the Barbie dolls, how they came in a glass tube kind of thing? You know, if you ladies might remember that. Maybe they still do, I don't know. That's what he was in. And it was bulletproof glass. That thing itself must have been worth a couple $1 million. And I was shocked how short he was. The guy was probably 5 foot tall. And he looked like a little statuette. And when they went by, the CIA was running alongside the car, and the wind was blowing a little bit, and the tail of their suits, you know, they were all wearing very nice suits. When the wind would blow, their suits would pop up, and they had Uzis strapped on their back that they could just rip right out from their back in an instant. And when they got to the front of the church, they all got around him, so really you couldn't see him, and then they escorted him in, and he didn't appear until he was up on the balcony in front of the bulletproof glass. And across from there was where the people who were invited, the guests, you know, the prominent people of Arizona, and the White House security was there. And they all wore white. They were kind of like a naval officer would wear white. And they had all their metal detectors and everything else. And so that's how that was dealing with over there. But it was such an amazing situation that all of this attention was being placed on a man that has embraced a doctrine of demons. A man who does not have your best interest in mind. A man, as we learn from those things, that at the Vatican, that there are sacrifices, that there are children who were killed, there are children who were molested, there are children who were raped, there are children then who are eaten. And we're not the only people who bring this information out. I know that there are things that even Steve Quayle has brought out, that heads of state have witnessed that beasts have been brought into the arena at the Vatican, otherwise hybrids, Nephilim, and then they devoured the child. And this was all for somebody like the Pope. And so today, this is where the Christian Church has placed themselves, that a man who denies the power, who basically blasphemes the Holy Spirit, that the Church still looks up to, the Church still turns to them for all of their, for their knowledge. And the last church that I tried to bring deliverance into, I don't know if you've been listening for a while, they literally told me that when I tried to tell them about deliverance and setting people free, they said to me that their God, listen to me, they said their God is bigger than that. Their God is bigger than that? What are you talking about? There's only one God. Now, this is a church that is a primary example of predestination, dispensation, Zionism. And this town, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, is literally imploding with homosexuality, with perversion of all types. And now I'm starting to see that some of the ones that they're bringing in from other countries, they're starting to dump off on us now. And the whole mechanics of this town has completely changed. And I hold churches responsible for what is happening to Coeur d'Alene. I hold churches responsible for what's happening to the United States. Now, if you remember that another church here within a few months ago, that the pastor was gunned down. Now, I don't know if we talked about this or not, but that pastor who was gunned down knows who I am. And when I was at lunch with somebody, they made a comment how when my back was turned, because I didn't even know the guy was there, that this pastor was burning a hole through my back, that the hatred that was being spewed upon me from his looks was so evident that the individual that I was with was taken back and didn't tell me till later. And then within 8 days, he was gunned down. So is there a connection? I have no idea. But something's wrong here, right? Do you ever get that feeling in your gut, there's something wrong? You come into a room and the air is a little weird and there's just, you know, I'm not right about this. And what's interesting is the church that I told you that rejected the deliverance and told me their God was bigger than that, that when that pastor had come back from Israel, because the guy goes there a couple times a year, that he was put in quarantine. Supposedly he got picked up something that came from a camel, and I don't know what the heck that was all about. I don't even want to go there. But his security, he was stepping up because he had information that it was necessary for them to all carry firearms. And then the other pastor gets gunned down. See, nothing's by coincidence. There's no accident here. There's something going on. And whatever it is, that as the hand of God is lifted by those who are disobedient, as God turns his back, remember when Jesus was on the cross and he looked up and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I agree with the theologians that have said this, that at that point in time, since the sins of the world were upon him, that God could not even look at him. Could you imagine how terrible that would have been for Jesus? As a man to feel the emotions and the pain of the rejection and the abandonment that took place, that was necessary to fulfill his task. That upon that, that he gave us life. He gave us the ability to stand against the enemy. He paid the price for the fall of the garden. And when a church denies what Jesus did, is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Because when the Pharisees told Jesus that basically he was Beelzebub and that he was casting out demons with demons, that was blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And when you deny deliverance, when you deny the miracles, when you deny the power of God and what Holy Spirit is doing, it is blasphemy. And everyone that has ever come against me, and anyone who has ever done anything over the years, I've begged them not to do it. Because it isn't tomorrow, it isn't next week, it doesn't even happen within the year. But somewhere along the line, something very bad happens. And so for those people that I've just recently dealt with, God love you. And I left the conversation at that. But you need to repent and understand that there is a job to do. And that one of the reasons that you may be skating along right now is because you cannot run into the devil going the same direction. The moment that you have opposition against Satan, you will have a battle. You will have a fight. And this lie that people tell those newcomers into the church, that when you accept Jesus Christ, all will be well, that's a lie. All will be well with your soul. All will be well with eternity. But in the interim, roll up your sleeves. You know, if I've mentioned this, if you're driving down the road and you see a child being abused, I mean really abused, I mean someone, whether it's a man or woman, just absolutely smacking away on the child, what would you do? Huh? I mean, it's terrible. A child, you know, regardless of how bad a child is, that's unacceptable. And chances are the parent has lost it. And it may not even be the parent. It may be an abduction, and the child's fighting, and the abductor can't handle it anymore because obviously they're not right in the head. And now they're doing something to the child. I'd slam on the brakes, the smoke would roll, and I'd come flying out of that car, and I'd take care of business. And I hope to God you would too. Because that's a responsibility on all of our shoulders for those who are less fortunate, those who are weak, those who are not able to defend themselves, children and the elderly, those who just don't have the mental capacity. That the atrocities that are placed upon them are done because the people who are doing it are full of demons. And by not enacting against evil, you are sanctioning the evil to prevail against the innocent. And the church is going to be held responsible. And as I told the individual recently, that judgment starts in the house of God. And that you better get your house in order. And since God's laws were written from day one, that even though you may be in Christ, that if you're rebellious, that we see all throughout Scripture that the name can be removed from the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I believe it takes a lot. Certainly, the mark of the beast is the ultimate. But if you're put in a situation that you cannot emotionally deal with it, then you might take the mark. As I told the individual recently, that there's no way to diagnose or to comprehend or to say who will and who won't. Because even in wartime, those who looked like they were cowards became brave. Especially when they saw somebody that they cared about being hurt. And many people lost their lives trying to save others. And so there you go. Where are you? Who are you? Because I tell you, the proof's in the pudding, so to speak. We shall know them by their fruits. And by the way, I mentioned that when you weigh everything out, if you've been found, you know, your weight in the balance, you've been found wanting, bad place to be. There you go. All right, out of time. All right, yeah, Needless Casualties of War by John Paul Jackson. Absolutely a great book. When I started reading the book, I couldn't put it down. And so anyone that wants to do spiritual, we should all do it. But we're talking. The book basically is addressing the corporate, that you as an individual, that when you go after the heavens, when you go after those things of principalities and rulers, that you, if you're not ready for it, if you're not prepared, if you're not cleaned up, and if you haven't been called to do it, because those are the situations that we petition God. when the people of God cry out and he hears our prayers, that this is a situation that we come together in Christ and two or more are gathered, and then we draw the sword of the Spirit, because the just like wolves, they'll come and pick you off one at a time. So be very, very, very careful. And I'm sorry about being late tonight. I'm getting caught up, and again, there's some changes here that are taking place. And I want to thank everyone for your support. Man, you have no idea how that really helps me out, because this is not an easy task. And again, with the conflict that I just dealt with somebody that had to do with the denial of my ministry, I'm so saddened, because it once again shows that the church that claims to be of God is really the synagogue of Satan. And so many, many, many people are going to perish, and it's just going to be a bloodbath. And so please, regardless, you know, forgive people. Love them. But we also have to understand, who is God's enemies? We have, remember, I've mentioned that. Who's your enemy? Is it your neighbor that you're always bickering with? Is it someone within your family? Or are we talking about the seed of Satan? That's God's enemies. There's a difference. Please understand that. All right. God bless everyone. And Julie and I will be back tomorrow on Wednesday. Good night.